hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off with Russia 2018. The 32-team field for football's premier event is almost complete. 29 of the 32 places have now been filled. Let's run down all the qualifiers in alphabetical order for our VOA World Cup fans. They are Argentina, Belgium, Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, Croatia, Egypt, England, France, defending champion Germany, Iceland, Iran, Japan, Mexico, Morocco, Nigeria, Panama, Poland, Portugal, host Russia, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Serbia, South Korea, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, Tunisia, and Uruguay. Amid boos and whistles in Milan Monday, four-time World Cup champion Italy was ousted from Russia 2018 by Sweden. The teams played to a scoreless draw, and the Swedes went through on a 1-0 aggregate in their two-leg World Cup qualifying playoff. The Italians will miss the World Cup for the first time since 1958. And just to put that date in perspective, the last time the Italians failed to make it to their sport's greatest event, a Brazilian teenager named Pelé was preparing for his first World Cup, and five-time champion Brazil had yet to win its first global trophy. Italy's veteran goalkeeper, 39-year-old Gianluigi Buffon, said, and I quote, "I'm not sorry for myself, but for all of Italian football. There is certainly a future for Italian football, as we have pride, ability, determination, and after bad tumbles, we always find a way to get back on our feet." Meanwhile, Italy's head coach, Gianpiero Ventura, decided to get his feet moving right out the door after his team's World Cup elimination. Within an hour of the match ending against Sweden, he resigned. The Italians are the biggest casualty for Russia 2018. Chile, the Netherlands, the United States, and the Black Stars of Ghana are among the teams who will also miss out on next year's International Football Festival. The Netherlands lost to Spain in the 2010 World Cup final and finished third in 2014. But the Dutch didn't even advance to the European qualifying playoffs for Russia 2018. Now, the last three World Cup slots will be decided this week. Ireland or Denmark later Tuesday evening, Australia or Honduras on Wednesday, and Peru or New Zealand also on Wednesday. Two teams from North Africa were the last to qualify from Africa, As we hear now from reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Morocco and Tunisia completed CAF's lineup at the 2018 FIFA World Cup, securing the last of AFCAS sports at Russia 2018. The Atlas Lions recorded an impressive 2-0 victory away to Cote d'Ivoire, while a goalless stalemate at home to Libya was enough for the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia to pip Congo DR to top spot in Group A. Both nations will join Nigeria, Egypt and Senegal as Africa's representatives at the global finals next year. Senegal joined the two on Friday when defeating South Africa 2-0 in Polokwane, paving the way for the Teranga Lions of Senegal to return to global competition for the first time in 16 years. Morocco will make their first appearance at the global finals since France 1998, while Tunisia will make their World Cup return for the first time since Germany 2006. And staying with the World Cup qualifiers from Africa, a stone-throwing mob injured 22 police officers in Brussels when celebrations over Morocco's qualification for football's World Cup turned violent. Belgian police said damage from the riot included a burnt car, smashed glass, and looted shops. Riot police were sent out to control a crowd of about 300 people after the final whistle, at one point firing water cannon at small groups of stone-throwing football fans and officers who had to deal with torch cars and looted shops. Away from the World Cup qualifiers, Rwanda filled the final place at the 2018 African Nations Championship CHAN on Sunday despite only drawing 0-0 in Kigali against Ethiopia in the second leg of a playoff. The Rwandans qualified 3-2 on aggregate, having won the first leg by that score in Addis Ababa last weekend. Egypt withdrew from the competition for home-based footballers, citing the refusal of clubs to release their players, and this gave Rwanda and Ethiopia a second chance to qualify. Now to athletics. Samuel Kalali has won the Athens Marathon, beating Milton Rotich by just over 2 minutes in a Kenyan sweep of the top five. Kalali broke away from the pre-race favorite Rotich after the 35-kilometer mark to win the hilly course in 2 hours, 12 minutes and 17 seconds. Rotich placed second in 2 hours, 14 minutes and 18 seconds, and Jonathan Kiptoo was third in 2 hours, 16 minutes, 8 seconds. The women's race was much tighter, with 18-year-old Ethiopian Badaru Badani winning in 2 hours, 34 minutes, 18 seconds. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, world number one Rafael Nadal of Spain has withdrawn from the elite season-ending ATP Finals in London. Rafa pulled out after losing his opening match Monday to the Belgian David Goffin in 3 sets. The final score from the O2 Arena in the British capital, 7-6, 6-7, and 6-4. Now, Nadal admitted ahead of the ATP Finals that the indoor hard court in London was not the best for his knees, which have caused him trouble throughout his career. Despite having qualified 13 consecutive times for the ATP Finals, Rafa's been fit enough to compete in only 8 of them, and he has never won the event. Rafael Nadal will still end 2017 as the world's top-ranked player. He was replaced in London by another Spaniard, Pablo Carreño Busta. Turning to African athletics, Olympic silver medalist Ilana Meyer of South Africa was one of the award winners at the recent Ames Gala in Athens, Greece. The ceremony was organized by Ames, the Association of International Marathons and Distance Races. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Ilana Meyer to talk with her about the environmental award. Here's Andy.
One of the many awards being presented at the Ames Best Marathon Runner of the Year award ceremony in Athens is for the Green Award, for the most green marathon of the year. And I'm happy to say that Ilana Meyer, Olympic silver medalist, 10,000 metres, Barcelona 1992, and a lot more besides. She's ambassador for the Sanlam Cape Town Marathon here with me now. What does it take for an event to win the Ames Green Award? I mean, it's all, in a sense, sounding all very nice and happy-clappy, but what are the nuts and bolts about going about making your event the most green on the circuit?
You know, I think, first of all, it's a fantastic honour to be here today. You know, we are passionate about running. We are passionate about making a difference, you know, and passionate about, you know, the environment. So from the very beginning, it was important for us to host a green event, you know, and we did manage in the first 2 years to host a climate neutral event, but you know, we knew we wanted to take it a step further, and this year for the first time we actually achieved a zero waste to landfill, you know, which obviously, you know, required a lot of additional work, you know, strategy that went into, you know, organizing events, you know, to ultimately make sure that, you know, the impact on the environment, you know, is zero.
A casual observer of particularly marathons, I mean, if I put it sort of in a sort of loose style, you can see a lot of junk, you know, runners taking off, well, whether it's goodie bags, banana skins at the end, or discarding kit. I mean, going back to the days of the 70s and 80s, people would be chucking stuff off themselves. All that, of course, is damaging to the environment. So what do you do about removing that threat, as you say, aiming for zero neutral events?
You know, so this year, you know, obviously, it, you know, it is a whole process of educating, you know, then, you know, go into recycling, reuse, you know, and this year at the end of the marathon, we had a big sorting plant where, you know, all the waste, you know, a couple of tons of waste, you know, got sorted into 9 different categories, you know, and ultimately, you know, the everything got recycled, you know, and some of the remains went into being changed into gases for reuse and fertilizers. So, you know, so ultimately, like, this whole waste diminished to nothing just because we planned for it.
Of course, it costs money to put on any event, especially a marathon. Does that have an impact in aiming to be and becoming the Green Award winner? Does that cost the Cape Town Marathon more, or does it in the long run end up to be quite good for the budget as well?
No, I think, you know, ultimately it will also be good for the budget. You know, we are a new kid on the block. You know, we've only been running the marathon for the last 4 years, you know, and that was our aim from the very start. You know, so I do believe it's a long-term process where we'll really reap the benefits of the investment that we initially has made. But, you know, we do encourage even every athlete to, you know, measure their carbon footprint, you know, from the you know, coming to the event. We do that for the whole event. And ultimately, you know, I do believe that, you know, runners will, you know, consciously be greener athletes, you know, and waste, and, you know, think twice before just chucking a bag. Because, you know, on the route we do make a provision for, you know, these ample, you know, chucking zones where you can drop your bag, you know. So I do believe in the long run, you know, it will also pay off in terms of, you know, not only creating a greener event, but, you know, also, you know, will be good for the budget.
That sounds a perfect match. Ilana Meyer, ambassador for the Sanlam Cape Town Marathon, winner of the Green Award at the Ames Best Marathon Runner of the Year. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? But I think, in short, everybody in running, wherever they are, taking part in races, would say, well done, and let's all try and follow that suit. Ilana, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten our way. If you keep on the sunny side of life.
All right, Roy.
Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Keep counting them down, Ray. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Great to have you here, Andrew. Let me first give you a Sunny Side of Sports salute for hosting the show on Friday and Monday.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure, but I am glad that you are back in the host seat so I can get back to my social media.
Well, we look forward to what you have to say about the latest social media trends in sports, Andrew. So what's trending?
Well, we start, unfortunately, on a sad note today. Bobby Doerr, who is the oldest living Major League Baseball player, the oldest member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame, passing away at the age of 99. So a life well-lived and long-lived for Bobby Doerr. He played his entire career with the Boston Red Sox. So the Red Sox tweeting that they mourn the loss of the 9-time All-Star, 27 years in a Red Sox uniform, both as a player and as a coach. He spent 14 seasons with the Red Sox before retiring at age 33, pretty young age to retire, but then went on to become a Red Sox scout, a first base coach, and a hitting instructor in the 1960s and 1970s. So on social media, Red Sox owner John Henry saying that Doerr was part of an era of baseball giants and still stood out as one himself. Even with all his Hall of Fame achievements at second base, his character and personality outshined them all. And that's because Doerr wasn't just a baseball player, Sonny. In 1945, he left the game for a year to serve in World War II. So not just serving on the field as an athlete, but serving his country in the armed forces. Lots of remembrances and tributes from fans on social media, writing that Doerr was one of their parents' or even grandparents' favorite players. You know, keep in mind that he last played in the, I believe, 1950s. So it was quite a while ago. Before our time. Not many current fans of Bobby Doerr that are around, but a lot of kids say that that's how they got into baseball, because their parents or their grandparents were a big fan of Bobby Doerr. So other people still noting, though, even years after his baseball career, he still signed autographs well into his 90s. People have stories that they send him a baseball or a picture, and they'd get it back in the mail about a week later, signed by Bobby Doerr. So much beloved by fans, and a player that's going to be definitely missed.
Rest in peace, Bobby Doerr. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, something else that's going to be missed in Italy this year, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Italy out of the World Cup for the first time in 60 years. Fans are just shocked. Something that many fans have not seen in their lifetime is Italy not being in the World Cup. And so the questions begin, how is the team going to restructure and rebuild? Much like what we saw here in the U.S. after the U.S. Men's National Team failed to make the World Cup. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that and see how Italy rebuilds and redevelops going forward.
So we'll have some big names missing from Russia 2018. Italy, the Netherlands, another traditional European power, Andrew. Ghana from Africa will not be at Russia 2018. And, of course, the good old USA missing out on Russia. But as I mentioned earlier, Andrew, the final three World Cup places will be decided this week. Ireland or Denmark later Tuesday evening, Australia or Honduras on Wednesday, and also on Wednesday, Peru or New Zealand. So one of those teams, actually three of those teams I just mentioned, will fill out the World Cup bracket.
Yeah, and that's the flip side, is that you're missing a lot of these big teams that people are so used to seeing, but it gives an opportunity for some other teams that we haven't seen on the world stage. So there's a lot of excitement from those teams and their fans. Maybe they can make a deep run, maybe upset the field in Russia. We'll have to see.
And a quick shout out for those Icelanders, Andrew. I think their population is less than half of that of Washington, D.C., roughly 300,000.
Yeah, 300,000, yeah.
And they're going to be playing in their very first World Cup.
I saw some stat that I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was something like 0.01 or 0.1% of the entire male population in Iceland is on the Iceland national soccer team. So it gives you a sense of how small that country is and how impressive it is that they're made it to the World Cup.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, a big comeback in the famed Madison Square Garden last night in New York as the Cleveland Cavaliers, who we talked about on the show yesterday with Dan Friedel, they came back from a 23-point deficit to beat the New York Knicks 104-101. But even before the Cavs made headlines on the court at Madison Square Garden, they were making headlines underneath the court, specifically more than 100 feet underneath the court. That's because after the practice that they held on Monday morning before the game, the Cavs decided to ditch the team bus and instead they took the New York City subway back to their hotel, and they captured the whole thing on social media, because if you don't film it and put it up on social media, did it really happen? So we see a video of LeBron James, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Jay Crowder descending the stairs below Madison Square Garden to Penn Station underneath. Fans quite surprised to see the team, some wishing them luck, some saying they're going to go down to the Knicks, you're going to lose. Didn't actually happen. The team waited on the platform for the train, where LeBron said it's only his second time on a subway. The first was back in Philadelphia. He said it's only the second time taking a mass transit system. He said he hopes he just gets on the right train and doesn't miss his stop. I think we can all relate to that. Once they're on the train, they explained that it would have taken 40 minutes in New York City traffic to get back to the hotel on the team bus, or 6 minutes on the subway. So that gives you a sense of why more people take the subway than drive in New York City. It's a lot faster sometimes in that traffic, and it was certainly faster for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, Andrew, maybe when LeBron and the Cavs play my beloved Washington Wizards later this year, we can invite LeBron to take a trip with us on the Metro subway system.
You know, there's a Metro stop just about two blocks away from our Voice of America headquarters, so if they want a Metro on over here, that would be great. I think we'd welcome that.
And the D.C. traffic can be kind of snarly too.
Yes, that's you know, these Metro transit systems can be a big help sometimes. But you know, while the Cavs were the center of attention on this subway ride, there was actually one commuter who was also getting a lot of attention on social media, because LeBron sits down on the subway and he pans his phone over to the guy sitting next to him and says, "I don't know who this guy is." And the man is either not a fan of LeBron, not a fan of the Cavaliers, or just not a fan of being filmed on the subway, because when LeBron pans the camera over, the man puts up his hand and he just says, "Can you not?" People saying it was the perfect New York welcome for the Cavaliers. However, maybe, you know, this guy didn't know who LeBron was. He didn't know LeBron James was sitting next to him, and he just figured this was some guy on the subway. So he put up his hand and just said he didn't want to talk to him. So maybe he might be kicking himself now that he was so rude to LeBron James. But that might be a common feeling in New York now, because after that game last night, LeBron put up on Instagram today a caption of a photo of him on the court there in Madison Square Garden that said, "You're welcome, King of New York." And that is not sitting well with a lot of New York fans. They're saying LeBron is not the King of New York by any stretch. He can't claim that, especially because 3 weeks ago the Cavs got beaten by the Brooklyn Nets. So how can he be King of New York if he can't beat all the New York teams? But at least he's King of the subway, at least for today.
Andrew Palcheski, the King of Social Media.
I like that title. I'll see if I can put that on a business card. I think that'll be good.
Thanks, Andrew, and we'll hear from you again on Wednesday.
Sounds good, Sonny. Thanks very much.
And that wraps up the November 14th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. Ambassador to Ghana, Robert Jackson, recently honored 9 Ghanaian communities selected to receive grants to promote education, agriculture, and economic growth at the local level. The grants, totaling $75,000, are part of the ambassador's small grants program. Speaking at the signing ceremony, Ambassador Jackson praised the communities for developing sustainable, high-impact, community-supported projects. As grantees, you are joining a distinct group of communities and organizations throughout Ghana, he noted. You have demonstrated that you can unite your political, civil society, religious, and business leaders to provide for the needs of your community, with a little extra assistance from the U.S. government. But in reality, the real efforts are yours, and we are honored to be your partner. Projects selected for funding include construction of an electrical workshop in the Ashanti region, completion of a school dining hall in the Ashanti region, completion of a primary school and a junior high school in the same region, the purchase of new furniture and learning materials for the Castle Road Special School in Accra, completion of a classroom block in the Upper West region, and the reconstruction of a shea butter processing facility in the Upper West region. In addition, 3 organizations will receive grants to buy new Gary processing equipment and stoves. The Nyambe Kiyeri Women's Gary Processing Association in the Brong Ahafo region, the Premier Agribusiness Association in the Eastern region, and the Miyingor Farmers Group in the Volta region. The Ambassador's Small Grants and Special Self-Help Program has provided support to grassroots development efforts since 1964. Over the last 3 decades, the U.S. Embassy in Accra has distributed more than $2.3 million in such grants to support community development projects. The U.S. is proud to work with its public and private sector partners in Ghana to promote education, agriculture, and economic development for the people of Ghana.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.